Nothing in this podcast is intended as investment advice, and the people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Do not buy any investment based solely on a tip or recommendation. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the Midweek Takeaway. And on today's Midweek Takeaway, we have the new CEO of Duke Mount Capital, Paul Gazzard. So welcome, Paul.
Thank you very much, Kevin. Nice to be here again.
We are talking today on this crazy Monday after the world's decided that COVID has just struck again with another variant, which seems to be not as bad as the last one and not as bad as the first one, but yet we've made a huge deal of it. So, Paul, tell us more about what's happening with DKE.
So thanks very much, Kevin. Just wanted to update everybody on what's going on with us, and also just to reference the comment that we made last week. We posted a link on our Twitter page that was linking to an article written by Timera, which really helps to put some of what's been going on, and I mean generally in the energy markets. There have been some extreme moves, some extreme volatility, both in terms of energy prices and in terms of gas prices. We are building flexible assets. These flexible assets will be operating in the market for exactly these sorts of moments. And when this happens, it's and the gas extreme gas price moves have been significant. So when this happens, it's a really good opportunity to put into context what Duke Mount is doing and how it fits in the overall picture. And Timera are an independent group. They advise a lot of the senior funders, and really they've done an article which really puts everything into context. Some of the margins have been huge. Margin opportunities have been huge in gas peakers. Sort of 300% normal margins. It's been very positive. There is a correlation between gas prices and energy prices, but this is a great moment to illustrate where Duke Mount's going to be playing in the flexible energy space and what these sorts of events do for Duke Mount and its prospective earnings in this area. And it's a broadly very positive and very worthwhile article. Part of the explanation also helps to show the long-term nature of these assets and reinforces that. It also explains that gas and particularly flexible gas assets, mainly engines rather than CCGT plants, have got a long-term role to play out past 2050 and net zero. They are part of the mix and they're here to stay, which is good. Always good to hear that. That's what our premise is. And that's what our belief is. And it's always good to see that validated by serious advisors in this space. So really, it was really an update just to put that into context, to circulate it around some of the market feeds, some of the followers, to help explain what's been going on and how that affects us and what we're doing. And at the same time, to provide a bit of a general update, as we did, that the prospectus is moving forward. We've had initial questions which we're responding to from the FCA there. And we've also started to engage now with the banks, which is great on the debt side. And that's moving forward as well as ongoing discussions, partners to bring other sites into that are production ready from the pipeline into production mode. So that's all going very well as well. So it's hugely busy, lots going on. And just wanted to really update the market in the context of Timera's comments about what this volatility and opportunity has done for our sites and our types of assets.
When you say you're investigating sites that are production ready, this means that the engines are already there and it's built on, or that you're just ready to go with those?
Sorry, production ready. They're construction ready. So these are sites that are ready to build, RTB, and sit in the pipeline, which is where the first two sites came from that Duke Mount did in its initial JV. And we've always alluded to that pipeline being deeper than those sites, and it's about the next ones, bringing those through into the next JV to get them into construction as well, because this move is all about scale and being a significant participant in this area. And we need more than we've got at the moment, or we'd ideally like more than we've got at the moment. And it's partners on those sites that we're talking to.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how frustrated are you about how long this has all taken?
Yeah, it always takes longer than you think. These are I'm used to being frustrated, so I'm not that frustrated. I always like it to move quicker. I'm generally impatient. I think any market participant is impatient and wants it to all happen immediately. But these are infrastructure assets, and there is a process, and that's always frustrating. And you just have to, you know, work through it and stick to your guns, and we will get there.
Okay, so I'm going to put you in a time machine and take you to Christmas next year. How do you see Jugman Capital looking like in 12 months' time?
Well, I hope you'd have at least six sites either built or nearing completion, and be in discussions on some bigger scale sites if we haven't already delivered those in terms of negotiating those. And ideally, we'd be in construction on those as well. So, you know, starting to get into the many, many tens, if not hundreds of megawatts, that would be an ideal, I think, scenario for me. And we'd start to be, that would be very significant for Jugman if we can get there. We'd have had a great year.
And is there likely to be a battery element of that in 12 months' time, you think?
Yes, I think as we go up the food chain, the sites, the deals become more prolific and the sites become bigger. Yes, I think there's a good likelihood that there will start to be batteries included in the deal flow as well as 11 kV gas peakers. Yeah.
So I think last time we talked, Paul, you were in the process or announced the completion of the purchase of two RTB energy generation sites with a total output of 10 megawatts. How are things progressing with those two sites?
Well, that's really the ones I've been talking about. So the prospectus is in regards to that purchase and those going through the process of the bank financing and all of those. So that's all progressing as it normally would. The other deal flow is to bring a further sites through into other joint venture structures to allow us to build alongside those more and more sites. That's what I was talking about there. Yeah. That is. Those two sites are really what the update was about. So the prospectus is progressing and discussion with banks is progressing. And so all of that is happening as we said it would, it's in the process.
Yeah, I mean, there's not really much. When you look at the cap of the company at like 1.4 million, there's really not a lot of value built in terms of enterprise value. It's almost valued at cash shell, right, at the moment.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's, I think I've alluded to that in the past. You know, what we're seeing there is a process that we as a company now have acquired the assets. We're now going through the process of delivering those assets. And as that process is delivered and executed on, I think, our hope is that the market sees that and understands that and starts to give greater credence to that value creation. And gradually that value, is imputed into the market cap of the business. So yeah, that at the moment, people are saying I would say the market's looking at that and saying, that's great, now deliver. And we're in the process of delivering. And these updates are all about touching in with the market to show, where we are in that process and things that we've said we're going to do are moving forward. Nothing more than that.
Beggar's belief at the moment. There's no rhyme or reason in this current climate. I don't think it's everything's just, there's so many bargains out there. But as Paul says, it's all about delivering now, isn't it? It's down to delivering exactly what's been promised, really.
Exactly. So, I mean, you guys can discuss and comment on, whether there are other things that would be value creative and all that stuff. And I hear you. That is stuff that market commentators and people who are looking more generally at the market are likely to do and doing all the time. That, for me, it's not really, that's not really part of the remit. The remit is to deliver what we've said we're going to do. And I've got to focus just on that really and deliver it. And then it's up to the market to decide, what credence and value they put on those things. But yeah, comparisons are always useful and interesting.
So the next issue will be when this prospectus comes to light and is finally okayed by the FCA, which is possibly how long is a piece of string, but hopefully within the near future, let's say, without putting a time limit on.
Exactly. Hopefully we're working as hard as we can to make that happen. So,
And the original one has been reviewed and you've gone back with the questions that they were worried about and the answers. So now we're waiting for a response from them, yes?
We're just in the normal process. Yeah, absolutely. There's always toing and froing. Exactly. It's exactly where we are. No, thanks very much. That's pretty much it. I wanted to make sure that the updates going across as many platforms as we can, so it's getting to the shareholders in the most efficient way, and to reference, you know, what's been going on this year. It's been a phenomenal year, really, in terms of proving the investment case for these sorts of assets. And it's easy for the market or people who are not as familiar with the market to be focusing on, oh my goodness, you know, gas has gone up, you can't be making any money because it's so expensive. Well, it isn't like that. The gas price and the energy price is highly correlated, and the volatility is the demonstration of what we're here for. And that's fundamentally a good thing, and is, if you like, an illustration or a great example of why we are doing what we're doing at Duke Mount and hoping to do more of it. And it looks like this example from this year has been a good example of why we're doing it.
Okay, that's great, Paul. Have a great rest of the day and rest of the week. And thank you for joining us on the Midweek Takeaway.
My pleasure. Thanks, Kevin. Thanks, Phil.
Cheers, Paul.
God bless.
This podcast was brought to you by Roast PR Limited. If you would like to appear on a future episode of The Sunday Roast, please email admin@thesundayroast.net.